We're doing Jewish history. We're up to the year. I don't know what year. We're up to God's birth, which is somewhere around the year 2190, 194, 196. God was born on the 10th of Cheshvan. He lived 125 years. His stone on the breastplate was Echlama, also called crystal. And that stone, they say crystal is a stone that gives a person strength at a time of war. I don't know if that's our crystal. But not everyone agrees that was a stone. In Arabic, it's interesting. It's also called Al-Khalma. In Hebrew, Achlama. In Arabic, Al-Khalma. Asher was born on the 4th of Shvat. He lived 123 years. Who else lived 123 years? Aaron HaKohen. And he died 82 years after they descended to Egypt.
Asher.
His stone was Tarshish, and that's a stone that helps with digestion. That's also true. Yeah. Very good. They say if you grind up the stone into your food, so then it makes a person fat and thick. It says it has the same color as fat. I don't know what that means. Okay. Yosef was born on the 27th of Tammuz. So he was born in the month of Tammuz. Yosef's stone is Shoham. The stone Shoham makes a person find favor in other people's eyes. Helps a person be successful. That stone is called Uncle, whatever that means. And in Arabic, it's called Al-Blur.
Rav, question?
Yeah.
Regardless of all of these stones and the traits that we're learning about, are we allowed to attribute any powers to the stones? Like, for example, if a soldier were to take a crystal with them to war, would he suddenly become really, really good or really, really valorous? Or if someone took the whichever stone was Tarshish, which was, and he had digestive problems, and just held the Tarshish stone, or would he have better digestion?
So we know different things have different effects on us. If antibiotics helps you with an infection. So in ancient times, they didn't have all this science. So everything seemed a little bit more like an amulet than it did like science. So I don't know if these stones are any different than the other medicines they had then. If you read the logic behind why different medicines worked, I'm not sure there was such a difference. I'm not sure.
Can you give an example? 'Cause I'm trying to...
Sure. Why do the Dudaim flowers help a woman's fertility? So the truth is, one of the reasons that are given, so it's a machlokas rishonim, whether they actually have any impact. And some of the rishonim say that they're shaped either like a woman or like a woman's reproductive system. Now, today, that's one of the theories they use when they research medicinal plants. They try to find plants that are similar to different parts of the body, and they say that this theory to some degree works. Now, I looked at the plants and what they're supposed to cure, and I couldn't see any similarity between the plant and that part of the body, but they say the theory works. Okay, so I don't know. So I'm just saying, if you want to say that in God's system of nature, God built in that the plants that cure different parts of the body will look like that part of the body, okay, you could say that, and you want to call that science, that's a little bit far-fetched. So that to say that these stones have certain impacts, yes, they're amulets. They're amulets that our sages spoke about, but I'm not clear on how far these amulets were from their regular medicine.
But today, this is what I was saying today, I mean, to me, I don't know anything about it. It seems a little Avodah Zarah-ish, very new agey, the crystal, let's say, huge and things that people have in their car, people have them, you know, I mean, red strings for Kabbalah, people have this stuff. Does it have any grounding, or is it something that's almost attributing a power other than to Hashem? You know,
the Ramban says, and the Ran says a similar idea, that the problem begins when you personify the stone. When you say, oh, dear stone, give me strength. But when you say the stone has certain characteristics that will affect me, so today we know that certain things, certain colors, science has proven that certain colors turn on different hormones by us and will bring out different feelings within a person. Black and red bring about certain feelings, blue and white bring about other feelings. So we see that we're impacted. So today we know part of the science behind it. They didn't have it down to a science. The Ran and Ramban, they both suggest that so long as you don't attribute personality to the force, there are many forces in nature. You got to the sun and the sun warms you. You can't deny that there's a force acting upon you. So what's the difference? You have a stone. So long as you don't say the stone wants to make me better, the fact that the stone might have that impact, yeah, that's true. Today, one of the theories about cancer is that if people have overexposure to copper, so then that can cause cancer. I have a friend who used to store a box of bullets under his bed. And when his wife came down with cancer, he was wondering if it could be connected. I don't know. But that no one's going to say that that's being superstitious. Because today they know that there are certain things that copper gives off. Okay.
The example I gave, let's say with the soldier using crystals, and if there was a reasonable chance that that would be helpful and no downside, it's almost insane not to.
Okay, and maybe that's right. There are ancient customs when a woman goes.
That sort of, I mean, I could be wrong, but I associate it with like people, like certain Christian people would wear like a St. Christopher medal. Good luck, whatever it was, an associated attribute. People, you know, sometimes look, the mezuzah obviously is a commandment, but not as an amulet, is it? I mean, it's supposed to be something that you think about, you know, what's in there, I think. I mean, that may be wrong. It seems to be such a fine line before, even if consciously you're not attributing the power separately, why does Hashem's force of healing flow through this crystal as opposed to something else? And if you can prove that people who use this stuff, who believe this stuff, benefit by it, then you're criminal not to advise people to do it.
Right.
I think.
Right, but don't forget, in their day and age, without a microscope, right. why would antibiotics work? That was also a miracle to them. I'm saying, what was the difference to them between antibiotics, which they didn't have, and this stone? All of medicine worked around
and
some.
To what extent did it work, I guess?
So that I don't know. That's right. Yes?
We talked to angels before Shabbat, the meal. Shalom Aleichem. We're like greeting them and then ushering them out. It's like communicating, sort of. You don't communicate with something that's inanimate. You communicate with something that has a mind, right? But we don't ascribe to independent power to it that has a mind, but I'm confused. I don't know.
But what do angels have to do with this?
It's like saying that the thing has independent power, like it would be like a Lazar.
We're not making requests to the angels.
But
I'm saying the sun has power. There are energies in the world. The fact that you use a medicine, the fact that if you take caffeine, you're more you're more charged. That's not a avodah zarah. So if these stones, in their day and age, they didn't understand how caffeine worked, they didn't understand how these stones worked. What's the difference? So long as it's a science, and so long as I don't attribute a personality to what's giving me the force, it's just a part of science. So the fact that I could tap into a force is not a avodah zarah. There are many forces I tap into. Why is electricity a force? Just because I understand electricity in these stones is something that I don't understand. Okay, so what? Avodah Zarah is when I start saying there's a desire in the stone to benefit me. Or there's a desire in some kind of being to make the stone benefit me. But if I say God created a world, there are forces in the world, I can tap into them, use them, fine. That's what we do all the time.
And angels are like separate, like we say, this angel should be on this side of me and that one should be on the other side of me.
So that's a separate discussion. Tomorrow night is Thursday night. Yeah. Let's talk. Okay, so you went off on a long tangent and we finished with the tribes. And
we did Yosef and Binyamin.
We did Yosef. And Binyamin, where'd Binyamin go?
Which one was Yosef?
We did Binyamin earlier. Why don't I see Binyamin here? Yosef we did. I don't see Binyamin here.
I thought we just did.
That's a good point. Binyamin is Yashbe, but he doesn't bring it. Where's Binyamin? I don't know why he didn't bring Binyamin. Maybe I missed it. Maybe it's somewhere here. We said Yosef was born on the 27th of Tammuz. His stone was the Shoham, and the Shoham stone makes a person find favor in people's eyes. Binyamin, I don't see here. Binyamin's stone was Yashbe, and that's a multicolored stone, and it's merits, I don't know. We have to look that up. You look at the Rabbeinu Bechaye. Rabbeinu Bechaye discusses all this. Okay, so Rebecca sends Yaakov word. She sends the wet nurse, Devorah, the daughter of Utz, and two servants to Haran to tell Yaakov, come home. And that's just the time that Yaakov finished his second series of 7 years. So Yaakov tells Lavan, give me my wives, let me go home. My mom's called me. And Lavan asks him, stick around, let's make a business deal. And when Rebekah's servants see that Yaakov is not coming back, so they come back and they tell, they give word to Rebekah. And Devorah, the wet nurse, sticks around to help Yaakov and his wives take care of all the kids. And Yaakov starts prospering. He has 200,000, 200,000, yeah, sets of sheep, herds of sheep, and it's a lot of sheep, right? people would come and buy his sheep because his sheep were especially beautiful, and they were so valued, his sheep, that he could exchange a sheep for a servant. He could exchange a sheep for a camel because his sheep were extraordinary. And now we're up to the end of those 6 years. The year is 2205, and we'll pick up here with Zachem next time.